Hi, this is Pastor Austin from Connection Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to know more about our services, you can go to connectionnyc.com or check us out at connectionnyc on Instagram. Hope you enjoy it and hope to see you soon.
Good morning. So today's sermon is entitled, God is Still Moving, and guess what? So are we. We are excited about this move. I finally got excited about moving about 2 weeks ago, last Sunday afternoon. I finally got excited about the move because, you know, there were a lot of things to consider. This new location, how's it going to be for us? What are, you know, is it healthy? Are we all on board with it? And finally, we realized at the conclusion of last Sunday that a decision had been made and we were moving forward together. And so I finally got excited, and it reminded me of when we first started the church back in 2012, when all these unanswered prayers were happening. Like, we had nowhere to meet, and we were planning for a church, and we spent months looking for a place to meet. And we finally found where God wanted us to be. And I feel like this is another one of those moments, too, where God's giving us a new start, a new beginning, a new place, and a new opportunity to reach the neighborhood. And what I needed to be reminded of is that, yeah, we're moving, but God is still moving. And so I want us to look at John 3:16. It's the most popular verse in the Bible, and it has an impact for us today that's going to help us realize that as we move forward out of our comfort zone into the uncomfortable, that God is moving with us, that we're not moving outside of Him. And there was a news story that happened in 2016 in Colorado. There was a mom whose 5-year-old son was out playing in the yard, and she heard screams. She goes outside, she leaves the house, and looks outside, and her 5-year-old son is being attacked by a mountain lion. Did you hear this story? So she runs out there, starts hitting the mountain lion, and basically pries her son out of the jaws of the mountain lion and saves his life. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? That mom would do that. I think every mom or dad would understand, hey, I would do the same thing for my child because I'm going to do what it takes to save their life. And so she saves his life. And then I remember the story from several years ago, and I Googled it to get all the facts on it again. And that happened two more times since 2016 in California, two different areas in California, one in 2021 and one in 2022 or 23 recently, where moms had saved their, and both of them were 5-year-old sons. All three were 5-year-old sons. I don't know if that tells you, but if you have sons and they're 5 years old, be careful, all right? Just don't let them go outside by themselves. And so this mom was moved because of her love to action for a purpose. Her love for the son moved her to take action for the purpose of saving his life. And that's the same thing that we're going to see God does for us today, that God is moving by love or because of his love to act on our behalf for a purpose of saving our lives. So look with me in John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm actually going to read through 16 through 18. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, only begotten basically just means the one and only. He's the one and only. So the first thing we're going to see is that God is still moving. God is moving because of his love. So that's number one. Because of his love, God is still moving. It says God so loved the world. That there's this emphasis on love. That God, he so loved the world. And this love means to, you know, the practical part, the very simple part, is it to show love. This is what it means. But also means this, to take pleasure in. That God delights and takes pleasure in the world. That he, to prize something. That you esteem this. Like I prize this. I value it. And also it means that it's worth a lot. The value is high. It's of great value. So God had this prized great value for the world. And the world word here is cosmos. And it means, yes, people. But it also means all of creation. It means the cosmos, the world, the trees, the universe, all of creation is what God loves. So it's not just the people that God loves, but he actually loves the creation that he created. So many people think that God's disposition is this angry God who's just ready to smite down sin. But God, more accurately, is a God of love. His disposition toward the world is that of love, like a father and a son. So we're moving to a new location ourselves. It's an exciting step of faith for us. And we want to position ourselves in moving to be a church that's ready and welcoming to people to know this great love that God has for them. That's why we want to have more room, is that we want people to come in and hear that there's a God who loves you. There's a world that's lying to you and trying to tear you apart from knowing this God. But there is truth in knowing that God loves you and he has a plan for you. And his disposition toward you is that he values you. It's funny because the mom saving the son isn't a funny story, but what I'm about to say, after I want to make sure that comes across clear. I didn't laugh when I read the story. But here's the irony of it, maybe instead of the word funny. The irony is this mom saved her son because she loved her son. She treasures him. She prizes him. He's of great value. She places him higher of value than her own life. She risked her life to go and save her son. And one day, this very son is going to question whether his mom loves him. He's not going to get to have his phone. He's going to have it taken away. He's not going to be able to go to a party or whatever. Say, you don't love me. You're not fair. Why are you doing this to me? And it's because many times we think that the guidance that we get from a parent, if it doesn't align with our will, means that they don't love us. But maybe a parent knows more what a child needs and what is healthy for a child. And maybe if we remember the disposition of the parent to the child is one of love, that maybe we would stop and say, okay, wait a minute. If you're not allowing me to do this, if you're not wanting me to do this, if you have this guideline, why is that? I know you love me. I don't question that. So what is it? And the same is true with us and God. That there are many times we think, God, you're not answering my prayer in this way. Why are you not answering my prayer? Why am I going through this tough time? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Do you even love me? That's an easy thing for us to come to when we don't have our eyes fixed on who God truly is. In a greater way, God loves you more than that mom loves her son. God loves you. God treasures you. God prizes you. You are of great value to him. God is moving because of his love for you, number one. Number two, God is moving to action. He's moved because of love, and he's moving to action. God's love causes him to act. So what is his action? Well, in verse 16, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that, what? Here's the action. He gave his one and only son. This was the action that he took. His love moved him to take action, to give his one and only son. So gave means he gave it over. He produced, he allowed, he appointed Jesus. He offered his son for us. And the one and only son means very exclusively that there is only one, that there is no other. He's alone in his kind. There is only one Jesus. There's no one like him. It's exclusive. He's not one of many ways for us to be right with God. And I hear this oftentimes. I haven't heard it most recently, but I've heard it many times, that I am glad that works for you when I tell people about my faith in Jesus. I'm glad you found something that works for you. Well, Jesus isn't something that works for me. According to his claims, Jesus is the one and only way for us to be right with God. That's extremely unpopular in this world today. Most people believe that we will ultimately be judged, if there even is a judgment, the ones that do believe that there is a judgment to come and a God and an afterlife, but we'll be judged on whether we were a good person or not. Whether our good outweighed the bad. The testimony of God is this, that we have no chance in the world of being good enough to get into heaven. Like, there's nothing we can do on our part to add to our resume that can make us good enough to be with God. And that's why the gospel is called good news, is because what we couldn't do, Jesus did for us. And by what he's done, now when we give our lives to the Lord, his resume becomes ours. And we become merited of God's favor and God's forgiveness. And we become where we earn that now because of Christ earning it for us. So Jesus prayed, God, if there's any other way, remember this part in the garden? He said, God, if there's any other way for this to happen, for your salvation to come, then let's do that. Let's do that other plan. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so God said, there is no other way. So Jesus gave. He sacrificed his own life. And I think most people would be willing to give their own opinions on most things in life, but there are fewer, much fewer people who are willing to give their own life for the sake of their neighbor. Making a move to a new space is sacrificial for my part. I've gotten comfortable in this space. I like it here. It's kind of cool. I like it. And it's sacrificial because it's going to be more work. It's a larger space. We need to get some people in the kids ministry up and running so that we can properly do that. It's going to be a sacrifice for us. And we're going to have to take on more roles in order to see things move forward. And so God's love is calling us to take a step of faith in action as well. Like, how can I step up in order to do what God wants me to do in life? And the heart of action is also the realization that we do not have the heart of God. So when we want to have the heart of God fueling us and moving us forward. And so what doesn't emulate the heart of God is a sense of entitlement or complaining or telling others what we deserve. The emulating the heart of God means that we have a giving spirit, that we look to serve and look to give to others. And that shows that we're really in tune with Jesus. Like, how can I serve? What we need to do is be a little hedonistic. Yeah, I said hedonistic in church. When it comes to receiving and getting all of God's glory we can get, all of his presence, be selfish. Go and after God as much as you can. Pray. Worship. Sing. Experience God's presence. Get all of that you can. Be gluttonous with his presence. And when we do that, it's going to fill us to where we can now give to others around us who are needy. This mom, again, saved her son from the jaws of a mountain lion by acting. Had she stayed inside the house and just wept for her son, he would have certainly died. But her love moved her. This is important. It moved her to do what only she could do. There was no one in the world that could have saved her son in that moment except for her. She was the only one there. She was the only mom. She moved in to help her helpless son. And in the same way, God looks at us in our helpless estate. And he moves to action. And because of what he's done through Jesus, we are now saved. Because he didn't stay back. He moved to action. So God was moved by love to action. And the third one is this, for a purpose. God is moving for a purpose. He was moved by his love, because of his love, to action for a purpose. Now, it's easy to forget God's purpose in life if we're focused on our own agenda and only what we're doing. And if we forget the purpose of God, sending Jesus, then we're going to easily doubt the love God has for us. We can also abuse the gospel for selfish reasons. We may think the purpose is for something other than God's purpose, and we certainly won't appreciate what we have in Jesus. But here's what we have in verse 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, there's the action, that whoever believes in him will not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that word perish there means to die. It's an eternal death as well, because it's contrasted to eternal life. It means to utterly destroy, to be ultimate loss. I read an article this morning about a plane on Thursday. Anybody see this? The American Airlines flight that descended in like 3 minutes, 15,000 feet, had the plane depressurized. Nobody saw that? Okay. I noticed it because as I read the article, like the headline was like 15,000 feet in less than 3 minutes. And then the next one said it was 11,000 feet in the course of 7 minutes. And then the next one was like, it descended 20,000 feet in 12.2 minutes. I'm like, which one is it? This is one article. And then all these different stats. And I was like, make up your mind, guys. But anyway, but the part that I'm talking about is that for a few minutes, that depressurized, the oxygen mask came down. There was a burning smell on the plane, right? And there was a loud pop. And they were just... they were lowering down quickly. They wanted to get down to the proper altitude where they could breathe. And for those few moments, it had to be quite terrifying for those folks, thinking that they may be heading to utter destruction. We're about to die. And I thought, that's a little bit appropriate when we understand what Jesus has rescued us from. That not just the death of here on earth, but an eternal death, that God's rescued us from utter destruction. He did this. And so we have this ultimate loss that Jesus has saved us from so that we would not perish. But the opposite side of that is he's given us something so great, this eternal life, this life that's forever. There's no decay, no sickness. There's only perfection. There's joy. There's union with God. There's this full communion that we have with one another and with God as well. And so God's purpose was to deliver us from certain death into certain life. He delivered us from death and destruction. If we can, that's like getting off that plane every day, like, whoa, that was close. You know, I have a new lease on life. And so if we can remember that, it helps us to be much more grateful to God. Sin not only leads to death, but it causes diseases. It causes plagues, it causes broken relationships, there's addiction, there's brokenness, there's greed, there's hatred. We could keep going and going and going. And Jesus is the one who's rescuing us from the destruction of sin. And the world likes to say, no. Come out and explore and do these things, and that's how you'll find your real freedom. And God is saying the world is not a safe place to go out and just explore all the freedoms that you may or may not have. Satan will do anything he can do to keep you from knowing the one true God. I was talking to Carly this morning, and I told her I Carrie, I hadn't talked to you about this yet, but I screamed out in my dreams last night. She's like, did it scare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I was like, I think I had some spiritual warfare going on last night because my dream, I'll tell you the dream real quick. The dream was... this person, I don't even know who this person is. You know how dreams are, right? Like, they don't make sense. But there was a threat, a verbal threat that I'm going to break into your house and do harm to you and your family. And I woke up, in my dream I woke up, right? So I was asleep twice, I guess, in two levels of it. But in my dream I wake up and I look over and see a door that's not really in my house, but it's an outside door. And I see that outside door start to open up. And it's really dark on the other side of that door. I don't see anybody coming through, but I know there's a presence coming through, and I try to get out of bed, but I can't because my arms are just stuck. And so in my dream, I'm just like, oh, I can't get up. I can't do anything. So I'm like, I'm going to scream really loud and scare this person so they'll get out of my house because I was going to go confront them. And I just, rah! And the next thing I know, Carrie's waking me up, Daniel. And I was like, oh, I was like, I had a bad dream. Okay. And so I went back to sleep. My heart was just pumping so fast. And I was like, is there some warfare going on? I don't know, but it was scary. I did some praying on it this morning. She said, yeah, Satan's always moving. And I said, you know, to finish that, Satan's always moving, trying to tear us down, trying to scare us, trying to have us to live in fear, trying to take us away from God. And I said, it's odd that you would say Satan is always moving, because today's sermon is God is still moving. When we have those moments of spiritual warfare in our lives, we must remember that we have victory in Christ. And we need to speak that victory out. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, demons be gone from here. You have no authority of fear over me. God did not give me a spirit of fear and timidity. But what does he give me? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gives me. And so I need to speak that out. I need to know that God, you're still moving. Your purpose, Lord, and our purpose of this church is to connect people to Jesus and one another, right? And we need to be connected to Jesus, because if we're not, we're sitting ducks. We're not strong enough to win those battles. But with Christ, there's no battle strong enough to beat us. We are who God says we are, and in Christ, we are more than conquerors. So it's not even sitting back like, you can't touch this, like MC, is that MC Hammer? Can't touch this? It's not like, oh, you can't touch me. It's more like, demon, I own you. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority here. Get out of here. That's a very different mindset than walking through life like, I hope I don't have the fiery darts coming at me. No, pray for the fiery darts to be shielded, but at the same time, understand that you are more than a conqueror in Christ. God is still moving today. The mom of this heroic mom, and I've referenced her for every point, and I'm going to do one more. She had a very clear purpose in her life. In that moment, I'm going to save my son. I'm going to do what it takes. She punched a mountain lion and ripped his mouth open to save her son. That is awesome. That is a move of love. Nothing was going to stand in her way. She didn't have to die to save her son, but she was willing to. And what God has done is says, the only way for me to rescue you is for me to go and take your place in death. And I'm going to pay for your sins, and I'm going to give my life for you. There's no questioning, no hesitation. As much as that mom loved that son to save him, even more so, Jesus loves you and has made an even greater gesture to run to your rescue and save you and to rip you from the jaws of death. And you don't even have to walk with scars like this boy I'm sure has scars to this day. But you walk in full healing, that God will bring you new life. This is what he's done for us to rescue us from destruction. And this is what we must remember. Not only did he move for us, but he is still moving today. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. And whoever believes, trusts, follows him will never perish, but will have eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your act of love in moving for a purpose to save us from eternal death and destruction. So, Lord, I pray that that would move our hearts today to find our delight in you. Lord, we are still very needy in our lives today. And I thank you that when we call out on you for salvation, you are there to save us. But also, Lord, I pray that when we call on your name today, that you're moving on our behalf by the power of your Spirit to give us victory, that we would walk as conquerors, more than conquerors, according to your word in Romans, that we are more than conquerors and that the enemy has no more authority except for what we yield to the enemy. And so, Lord, as victors, as children of God, I pray that we would no longer yield any territory of our hearts and our minds and our lives over to the enemy, but we would resubmit our lives to you this morning and say, God, move in my heart, move in my life, and make me more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.